From the peaks of Barbenheimer to the depths of actors and writer strikes, Hollywood has been on a roller coaster this year. Happily, the overall trend is up, with attendance inching ever closer to healthy pre-pandemic levels. And quality? That is up too, judging from critic Bob Mondello's 10 Best list, which positively overflows.
Can we just marvel for a moment that a cerebral drama about the father of the atom bomb very nearly topped the $1 billion mark at the box office?
Are we saying there's a chance that when we push that button, we destroy the world?
Chances are near zero.
Near zero.
What do you want from theory alone?
Zero would be nice.
Christopher Nolan's Oppenheimer isn't just a breathtaking achievement visually and dramatically. It's also, at least in terms of dollars and cents, the most successful serious film in decades. A blockbuster biopic. Who'd have thunk? And Nolan wasn't alone in crafting a stylish portrait of a major 20th century figure.
Hello, I'm Lenny.
Hello, Felicia.
Bradley Cooper made an evocative chamber biopic about composer and conductor Leonard Bernstein and his complicated life as a closeted, bisexual, and mostly happily married celebrity in the 1950s and 60s.
What age are we living in? One can be as free as one likes without guilt or confession. Please, I know exactly who you are.
Maestro is as much about Carey Mulligan's Felicia as it is about Bradley Cooper's Bernstein. Martin Scorsese's epic, Killers of the Flower Moon, is also taken from real life, the story of a scheme to cheat and ultimately extinguish Oklahoma's Osage Nation.
They have the worst land possible, but they outsmarted everybody.
The land had oil on it. Money flows freely here now.
I do love that money, sir.
Leo DiCaprio and Robert De Niro are the killers, while Lily Gladstone embodies the promise of a flower moon in a monstrous true tale of greed and violence. A pair of sharply pointed comedies took aim at some other social issues this year.
I am Bella Baxter.
Emma Stone stars in Poor Things, the latest weirdness from Yorgos Lanthimos, which feels like what you get if Mary Shelley had written Frankenstein.
She's an experiment. Her brain and her body are not quite synchronized.
As a sex farce with feminist leanings.
A woman plotting her course to freedom.
How delightful.
Also using comedy to make a point, American Fiction tackles the way writers of color get erased or compromised by the publishing industry.
They want a black book.
They have a black book. I'm black, and it's my book.
You know what I mean.
He does. So to make a point, he pens a story chock full of stereotypes and sends it to his agent.
I be standing outside in the night.
Deadbeat dads, rappers, crack.
You said you wanted black stuff.
That's black, right?
I see what you're doing.
And when the agent sends it out?
We sold your book.
No.
We believe Mr. Lee has written a bestseller.
It's a joke. The most lucrative joke you've ever told.
If media stereotyping were all that first-time filmmaker Cord Jefferson were playing with, his film would be a riot. But he's also got bigger fallacies to fry and emotions to lean into, and he ends up making American Fiction every bit as grand as that title. That's five of a top 10. The next two are animated, one in just about every style you can imagine.
Wait, hold on. The Mona Lisa. There's an elite society with all the best spider people in it?
Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse brings us Miles Morales, Brooklyn's black Latino spider guy, as well as spider folks and even spider cats from all over.
I've leveled up my whole thing.
Cleverly animated, it's also rich in feeling and character, which is something it shares with The Boy and the Heron from Studio Ghibli's 82-year-old master of anime, Hayao Miyazaki.
I'm looking for someone.
He's recounting in fable terms and with exquisite images his own youth coping with wartime tragedy through imagination.
You see this world? There's more work to be done.
The Boy and the Heron has intensity, longing, ethereal beauty, all qualities also found in a pair of this year's most delicately nuanced romances, one bridging continents, Korea to New York.
What a good story this is.
It's called Past Lives.
Childhood sweethearts who reconnect 20 years later and realize they were meant for each other. In the story, I would be the evil white American husband standing in the way of destiny.
Shut up.
The other romance bridges dimensions.
I've always felt like a stranger in my own family.
It's called All of Us Strangers and looks at two gay men finding each other just as one of them discovers he can visit the parents who died when he was 12.
Is this real?
Does it feel real?
Our boys back home?
Call All of Us Strangers a haunting romance.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I don't think that matters.
No less haunting is the film that rounds out my top 10, one that captures the joy and the pain of adolescent friendship. In the Belgian drama Close, two rambunctious, inseparable 13-year-olds have their closeness irrevocably upended by a stray comment at school. Writer-director Lucas Daunt is alert to broader social implications, but the film's power comes from the boys themselves. 10 is an arbitrary number, and I've still got some time, so let's just keep going. I keep thinking there's no new way to tell a story of the Holocaust, but the zone of interest finds one, embedding audiences with the Nazi commandant's family in a home that butts up against the walls of Auschwitz. Also powerful, a documentary about more recent cruelties, El Juicio, the trial, made up entirely of the actual court proceedings that put Argentina's dictator in jail in 1985, including the prosecutor's fiery final statement.
Señores jueces, nunca más.
Nunca más. Never again. It's been such an extraordinary year for foreign films that another trial, this one rivetingly acted in the drama Anatomy of a Fall,
that's not true,
managed to win the Palme d'Or at the Cannes Film Fest, but still won't be France's entry in the Oscars. What beat it out? A mouth-watering feast for foodies called The Taste of Things. It stars Juliette Binoche and should not be seen on an empty stomach. In a British film called Scrapper, a long-absent father comes home after his ex dies to find their 12-year-old is fending for herself.
How come you didn't want to know me 12 years ago?
Because we were young, like we weren't getting along. She told me to leave.
You're a liar.
I ain't surprised no one stuck around for you, you know?
Scrapper basically turns the adolescent coming-of-age story on its head. Dad is the one who needs to grow up so his daughter can finally let go and be a kid. In an American twist on the absent parent notion, a free-spirited mom, fresh from prison, kidnaps her 6-year-old from foster care in the drama 1001.
Just let me see your eyes so I know you're not mad at me. I'm staying out of trouble this time.
The film builds to a startling reveal that makes you question everything you've just seen. Other purposely discomfiting juxtapositions of adults and children include the tabloid-inspired May-December, Todd Haynes' provocative, I'm going to call it a melodramedy, about an actress preparing to tread in dicey territory.
Why would you want to play someone who you think is a bad person?
It's the moral gray areas that are interesting.
Also, Alexander Payne's prep school comedy, The Holdovers, about a curmudgeonly teacher played by Paul Giamatti.
Sir, I don't understand.
That's glaringly apparent.
I can't fail this class.
Oh, don't sell yourself short, Mr. Coates. I truly believe that you can.
And the mockumentary Theater Camp, about showbusy counselors and 11-year-olds who speak fluent Wicked and Sweeney Todd.
Welcome, auditioners.
You guys are so talented, so unbelievable. This will break you. This will fully destroy you.
Congratulations on being the most talented kids at camp.
And yes, I've not forgotten.
Hi, Barbie!
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 Barbie! Barbie.
Greta Gerwig's insanely popular hot pink comedy that is insanely popular for a reason. Which brings us to 20 bests. And now, though I could still go on, we are out of time. I'm Bob Mandela.
Phew! I'm exhausted just listening to that.